So we are on page 505, and we have just completed the Madonna of Suffering, Mother of Grief Divine. She has revealed to Savitri her powers. She is a delegate divinity. There are basically, we are not alone as we believe ourselves to be. There is the divine, but also there are delegate divinities which are helping us. So one of them is Madonna of Suffering. So every time we suffer for whatever reason, physical, psychological, whenever we have grief, injury, hurt, she is there by our side. And she is trying to relieve. She has her own limitations, but within that, she is a cosmic power. And that power dwells within our soul. So that's how it is, the triple soul forces. And that power gets activated the moment there is a pain, grief, suffering, torture, all that we read. And she tries to heal, she tries to comfort, she tries to soothe. But she cannot uproot the cosmic evil. That she cannot. She cannot, because there is a deeper reason for it. But her help is available. And those become her best instruments or instrument of this part of the soul, this power of the soul, who are always full of hope. So we see that Madonna of Suffering, she is always full of hope, always full of trust and confidence in the divine. Even though she is not, she says that I know one day you will come, though until now you have not come. Still she does not lose hope, she does not complain, she does not blame. She does not revolt. She accepts, surrenders, and does what she has to do. So this is what we read. And then this power, which is there within our soul, when it enters into our nature, in the lower nature, it is the true soul nature, true response of the soul. Not to complain, but just to accept and endure with faith. This is how the soul responds under this, because of this power which dwells within it. But the lower nature, riddled with ego, desire, impatience, haste, that reacts in a different way. So that's why we read these lines. She seized and like an echo from below, answering her pathos of divine complaint, a voice of wrath took up the dire refrain. A growl of thunder or roar of angry beast. The beast that crouching growls within man's depths. Voice of a tortured titan, once a god. So this is the Vedic truth that Sri Aurobindo has revealed to us in different places. That this lower nature is a deformation of the higher supernature. And that is why it can be transformed. So it's not that this is some, on its own it has come, somehow it has come, or it's an illusion. No. It is the shadow of something which is in its origin divine. So there is the divinity of nature, super nature. As it enters, it becomes diminished, limited, shadowy, and it becomes lower nature. So in the lower nature also, when these divine forces work, start acting, they get distorted, their action gets distorted. And we can understand it, how knowledge can get distorted by personal opinions, viewpoints, how love can get distorted by possessiveness, jealousies, all these things are distortions. Though love, light in origin are divine, how bliss can get distorted. So, this is a tortured titan, once a god. So, even these goddesses and gods, they also, when they enter, they have fallen from that height. It is described by Milton also in Paradise Lost, how they have entered, and Lucifer, he was once a divine being, but he has fallen. Mother also speaks about the four asuras who were once a god and how they have become their very opposites. So, to redeem them is one of the work of the avatar. But what is the voice of the titan, once a god? This is so important because whenever such voices, such thoughts, such feelings arise in us, we should know it is this fellow who is trying to mislead us. That's why it is important. What kind of thoughts he projects? I am the man of sorrows. I am he. Remember mother using this, Sri Aurobindo using the word man of sorrows. So there are people who all the time are complaining, who are as if despondent. They cannot be happy as if, even if everything is wonderful, even if God is present, they cannot be happy. Sri Aurobindo jokingly addresses, man of sorrows, man of sorrows. So this is how, it's not that that person is man of sorrow, but it's a way of saying that, you know, this is how man of sorrows reacts. Don't come under the influence of the man of sorrows. So man of sorrows, and the mother was asked this question about man of sorrows, and she described people who are always complaining. So this is because of the asuric influence in nature. So what does he say? I am the man of sorrows. I am he who is nailed on the white cross of the universe. To enjoy my agony, God built the earth. My passion, he has made his drama's theme. So there are religions, there are philosophy, there are people who believe God made this world and filled it with suffering so that we can pray to him. Now imagine what a horrible God he must be who is giving suffering to the children so that we can pray to him. Even an ordinary human parents will not do this. So, but there are people who believe like this because of the, even now here they say, mother is giving me suffering, mother is giving me this pain. Are, mother is not giving us pain and suffering. They arise because of the nature of things and our attachments and our limitations, incapacity. But she is on our side. She wants us to relieve the suffering. But there are people who say, mother is giving us suffering, mother is giving us pain, mother is testing me. Mother says, I don't need to test you, I know you. Why should she test? So, but this is the voice of the titan. He has sent me naked into his bitter world. See Karna's complaint. Pandavas are also born like this, you know, in the forest. And after three of them, their father died. So if you look at it, they also had a very tough life. And Karna has relatively a better life. Even though he is abandoned, he is brought up by not an ordinary person. His parent, his father is a Adhirath, who is the driver of the chariot of Bhishma Pitama. He is a big man. But all the time, see what happened to me. I have been abandoned. I mean, that's how they portray. This is the voice of the titan. He could have easily said, whatever it be, now destiny has made me a great warrior. Now I can be on the side of Dharma. Shri Krishna gives him that offer. But that's not how the titan looks at life. He has sent me naked into his bitter world and beaten me with his rods of grief and pain that I might cry and grovel at his feet. So even there are certain religions which will beat themselves as if God feels very happy seeing all this. He must be horrified. And offer him worship with my blood and tears. That is how the Asura worships. And Shivinda says that is not the way. Krishna, baby Krishna, has to be nurtured and fostered. He is full of delight, sweetness. We have to be harsh if needed with things like the band of spirits enemies, like anger, lust, greed, fear. But to give pain and torture to the body is an asuric kind of tapasya. But the asura does like that. I am Prometheus under the vulture's beak. Man, the discoverer of the undying fire. In the flame he kindled, burning like a moth. So this, the many Greek stories and other things are here. So Prometheus is, again, he is one of the gods who steals the fire, which is only meant for the heavenly beings. And he brings that fire and gives to men. And when he gives this, Zeus, which is like our Indra of the Puranas, not the original Indra, he is very angry. So he punishes him. Punishes him that, but he is a god, he is an immortal, so he cannot die. He cannot punish him with death. He says, every morning you will be like whole body. But every night, vultures will tear away your entire body. The morning you will be again normal. It's a punishment going on. Prometheus under the vulture's beak. So it's a punishment he bears. Why? Because he has brought the fire. We also have a story similar. Fire is that aspiration. Because why they don't want to give fire? Because aspiration can make human beings one with the gods. And Prometheus has found a unique way of showing them their place. They are the vital god. Man will grow greater than you. So gods are not happy. In Indian story, this same story is the fire of aspiration, that Parijat tree. But there Krishna defeats the gods and he gets the tree. There also the gods don't want, because Parijat is aspiration flower. And he brings and plants it on earth. So, I am the seeker who can never find. So when these thoughts come, what is the use? Kichu hote parbe na. Ma sunche ki na sunche. Hey Titan, this is the Titan speaking. So, I am the fighter who can never win. Hopeless, helpless feelings. I am the runner who never touched his goal. So you see pessimism. Mother says, pessimism is the tail of the devil. It means that the devil is nearby. Hell tortures me with the edges of my thought. Heaven tortures me with the splendor of my dream. So for such a person, life is only a torture. When he is suffering, then hell is torturing him. And time to time, the only hope is there is a beautiful life beyond or sometime. But he says, I can never achieve it. I am unfit. So it is also a torture because he has a dream which he believes he cannot realize. None can realize by their efforts, it is by the grace. But the Titan does not believe in grace. Titan believes in punishment. What profit have I of my animal birth? What profit have I of my human soul? He says, my body is like an animal. I have a soul, I believe, which dreams. But what is the use of these dreams? He says, my life is useless. I toil like the animal die. Now we will see how some of these communist philosophies are based on this Titan. True communism is different. That is Vedantic communism, based on the oneself. But this communism, which speaks about revolt. Why? Because there is no God. God has created man disparities only to make human beings suffer. They should pick up the gun and with violence snatch. See, this is the communistic idea which appeals to many people. That yes, look at this world. God has created for suffering. All these are obviously false stress, exaggerations, wrong ideas. But they believe in these things. I am man the rebel. Man the helpless serf. Fate and fellows cheat me of my wage. So this is the other thing we'll hear. Everybody has cheated me. Everybody has deceived me. Sometime we should ask, I must have also cheated somebody. One way or the other, life is a constant. We are never completely fair in our dealings. So when we are not fair, directly we may not have cheated consciously or that way. But certainly we are not fair always towards everybody. It's very difficult to remain fair and just in all situations. So, but he only complains. I loosen with my blood my servitude's seal. So only way I can come out of this suffering, slavery, is by giving my blood and toil and sweat and tears. And shake from my aching neck the oppressor's knees, only to seat new tyrants on my back. Now this is how the titans were, this is their game. So you see, there was a time when the kings were there. So kings were not the original kings who were representatives of God. There were beautiful kings in Indian, if you go long back. But as they say in Kali Yuga, the Kali sat on the mukut also of the king, because he went wherever there was gold. So the zamindars, the landlords, feudal lords, it is true that they were oppressing the people who were below. But what happened? So when they were thrown away, who sits on their back? Ministers. And those ministers use them to propagate their own family. They exploit them. It is so evident. They want their family to grow richer, so they will make these people revolt. See, we are the only people, and they will give some dole, and ultimately their condition remains the same. they are the new tyrants. They also rule by Gundaraj. So this is our new tyrant. So he says, nobody is there to redeem me. I am still the same. My teachers lesson me in slavery. See the way of the titan. When he rules a government, he does not empower people. He gives out free doles because they will remain forever slaves. This is the whole logic which is working. Empowerment is where you develop, you learn, you grow. I am shown God's stamp and my own signature upon the sorry contract of my fate. So if you go to a sadhu, or not sadhu, but I mean these traditional pandits, see why this is happening to me, he'll say, your fate, your karma. So God has written punishment because of that you are suffering. So he, poor fellow, does not get relief anywhere, because wherever he goes, he is told that it's you who has to suffer for some reason or the other. Then again, you see, these are the thoughts that come when this titan attacks us. I have loved, but none has loved me since my birth. Which is again so strange. I mean, barring a few parents, most parents instinctively have love, even animal parents. They may not be perfect, they are far from perfect, they are very limited. But they nurture the child to their from birth. So there are people who say, and why parents only? The whole universe, air comes, sunlight comes, water is given to, all this is so easily, readily available to us. The universe loves us. But we believe that nobody loves us. Actually, we don't truly love. Even animals, if you give them little bit, see how they will respond. But this titan says, I have loved, but none has loved me since my birth. My fruit of works is given to other hands. This is a distorted seeing. He does not understand the truth of yagna. Yagya is that it's not that I have given so much, therefore I will get so much. Yagya is everybody gives. But what each one will receive is according to his inner need of progress and his capacity. But he thinks things are snatched away from me and given to somebody else. All that is left me is my evil thoughts, my sordid quarrel against God and man, envy of the riches that I cannot share, hate of a happiness that is not mine. He believes that God, human beings, everybody hates him, snatches whatever he has. I know my fate will ever be the same. This thought comes during dark moments. Nobody can help me. Nothing can happen. God has only given me this punishment, my karma, whatever it is. Nothing will change. This is the thought that the titan fills into our head. Because he wants the world to be under his grip. So if people don't trust in grace, they will be under the grip of the titan. So he throws this kind of philosophy. It is my nature's work that cannot change. So there also he blames himself. What can I do? My nature. Mother, what does she say? She says, my child, do you know why you believe that you cannot change? Why you have so many difficulties? So the student says, I don't know, mother, what is the reason? She says, because you don't trust in grace. You are hypnotized by your difficulties. This is called hypnotized. Oh, I am like this. What God can do? I am such a bad person. I am useless. I am worthless. These thoughts which come in dark moments are thoughts of darkness. We should actively remove it or bring in light, say that this is not true. I am not going to accept these thoughts. And then he also knows the real reason What is the reason? I have loved for mine, not for the beloved's sake. Titan does not love for the person the Titan loves, the person's sake. He loves so that he can get something. So this is not love. Mother says the only love is about self-giving. There is no love without spirit of giving, spirit of service. There is no love. But he says, I have loved. But he has loved for his own sake. What he can get, what he can to dominate, to possess, to want, to extract. I have lived for myself and not for others' lives. So Titan lives only for his. Even when he goes to God, like Ravana, he is thinking, if this power can come to me, Shiva can come to Lanka, I'll be the most powerful. Because he is Devon ke Dev Mahadev. So if he comes, even those great gods cannot, I don't have to fear after that, Narayana and others. Because he says, if Shiva is there, all is done. He does not succeed. So now he wants Mata Sita, Adya Shakti. If she is there, again I'll become the most powerful person. Because he wants, he is love, even his so-called bhakti. People say Ravana was a great bhakta. No, he was a very selfish person. He was wanting his own name and fame. So that's why if he is a true bhakta, God will see to it that he is never goes to that perdition. And even then, because of whatever little bhakti, God still saves him. Ravana's death is Ravana converted and changed. His soul is redeemed. Each in himself is soul by nature's law. He says, this is my nature, I cannot change. This is what Duryodhana prays. He says, I know what is dharma, but I don't have pravritti for it. I know what is adharma, but I don't have nivritti from it. This is what the Titan says, I cannot change. This is my nature. Two more lines, then we'll stop. So God has made his harsh and dreadful world. So has he built the petty heart of man. So this way he looks at world, himself as the center of things. God is meant to satisfy all his desires. If he does not, then he makes him a cruel, torturing person, because he sees his own image. Everybody sees their own image in the divine. So Titan sees his own image in God. So his God is a God who will punish, who will make you sad, suffer, so that you can pray to him. Because that is what is Titan's nature. And Titan believes that he cannot change because he does not believe in grace. So we'll stop here. Next week we will meet again. Thank you.